Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavyankaravavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 131. Your inconceivable potency keeps you unattached to the mundane qualities. Surpassing all conceptions of material contemplation, your pure transcendent knowledge keeps you beyond all speculative processes. By your inconceivable power, there is nothing contradictory in you. Who's speaking here? Do we know who's speaking? Okay, this is from sixth canto. Okay. People may sometimes think of you as impersonal or personal, but you are one. For persons who are confused or bewildered, a rope may appear to manifest itself as different kinds of snakes. For similar confused persons who are uncertain about you, you create various philosophical methods in pursuance of their uncertain positions. Right, so these philosophical positions are actually created by Krishna. It's just like the living entities want to enjoy separately from Krishna, so Krishna makes the material world, so they can do that. But they also want to be able to not see him properly, or at all. So therefore Krishna creates all these philosophies by which the living entity can then think himself in whatever position he is, whatever position Krishna is in the material world. So all these philosophies come up from him. Right? I mean, somebody may be attributed to it. You know, it's just like Yajna is always there, right? But then at the beginning of the Treta Yuga, then, I think it's Puru Ravas, then he's attributed with being the father of Yajna, right? Because he wanted to attain Urvasi, so then he performed the Yajna to get her back again, right? And so then from there, the Karmakanda stuff started. Does that make sense? Yeah, because otherwise before that, then they were all Hamsas, so you didn't require... Yes. That aspects of Vedic culture. Yes. Does that make sense? So in other words, basically, as we see from 11th canto, the lifestyle that Srila Prabhupada gave us, that has Brahmacharya Vaishyashudra, has Brahmacharya Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyasa and Brahmins. That culture, that's been given to us. So that's basically your Satya Yuga culture. It's the Ekayana culture. It means everybody fits into that Brahminical category. Though they may take different aspects of. You know what I'm saying? So you follow the rules of what you do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It's just like, let's say, a Brahmin, his subject matter that he knows and teaches is music. Mm-hmm. Right? So now, music will also be attributed as an occupation to Shudras.
Yes.
Right? But at the same time, teaching and all that, then Brahmins may be doing. Shudras also can teach other Shudras.
Yes.
But then the Brahmins will be teaching. But... just because he's a Brahmin, and it may be seen as a Shudra occupation, you know, it means that the topic, well, you know, technically it's not, but it may be, doesn't mean that the Brahmin, being Brahminically situated, is not following the rules of music. Right? Does that make sense? So, in the Brahminical culture, it means that it's all about Krishna, pleasing Krishna, then whatever field you're working in, you know, whether it's in education, whether it's in administration, whether it's in economics, you still follow the rules of those subjects.
Yes, yes.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't change. So that's where the confusing thing goes, is that we're used to, no, if it's this, it's only this. But it can be all these things at once.
Yes.
I mean, if the absolute truth is inconceivably simultaneously one and different, then why can't all these things be happening at once? Right? So, but that's the difficulty, is because we want it just like in a nice little box and everything. You know, we like the corporate presentation. You know, do this, you make profit. Don't do this, you don't make profit. That's, you know. So the actual point is that all these things are there. All these levels are there. You know, so you have the consciousness, you have the metaphysical, you have the subtle body, you have the gross body. You know, all these things are going on.
Because the intent was clear at the time.
Yes, it's clear. So then, because it's about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so then, therefore, then they're working in this area.
Yes.
And there may be a bit of a range within it. Some are, you know, more towards the just appreciating the Lord, while others have that devotional attitude.
Yes.
But the point is it's within that. You don't require the other aspects.
Yes.
Like Brahmins as a culture can function amongst themselves without something else.
Yes.
You don't need Kshatriyas and all that.
Yes.
To do that. Right? But when you come into the Treta Yuga, now then, because one quarter of the, what do you call it, good qualities goes down,
yes.
Therefore now you need Kshatriyas and you need Yajna, you need all these things to,
yes.
to keep, because you see the Vedic system is to keep people engaged,
yes.
and try to restrict and control their sense gratification so that they remain in a progressive state.
Yes.
You know, it's just like children, they'll play, but you restrict it so they play but within a context. You know, it's cold out, they play in the house, or if they're, you know, or if they're going to be wild and they have to play, you know, whatever it is in the bedroom or in the basement or out in the backyard, you know, something. But it's restricted. They're still within this space. It's not that they can run out the door and run out in the street and jump on the cars and, you know, all these kind of things. It's restricted. And then within that, then they get their playing, but at the same time as they make progress in learning culture and knowledge and behavior and all. Right? So the Vedic culture is like that, is that because people have more desire, therefore, then these things are there more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maharaj, so if I understood correctly, means before Treta Yuga and above, it was only Bhagavad presentation.
Basically.
And in the beginning of Kali Yuga, or the end of Dwapara Yuga, it was like more introduction of Pancharatric system.
Yeah, no, Dwapara is about Pancharatra. So it's already going on, just
okay.
Krishna as the deity came at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Like that.
And after the Vedic system was introduced.
No. The Vedic system is introduced in Treta.
Treta, okay.
Means the Hamsa platform is the Vedic system. It's actually the essence of the Vedic system.
Yes.
So it's just how much is necessary to function within the capacity that you're working. Right, because you need living entities and all that. So the expansion of the universe, therefore you have to have grihasthas. Then the prajapatis, they follow those rules. But they just follow how much is necessary.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's then what is happening on the earth. So then with Treta Yuga, then Pururavas introduces Yajna. You know, the all the sacrifice of the karmakanda and all these things start
yes.
coming in.
Okay.
So as soon as you increase desires, now you have to increase control.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Less desires, less control.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Something. So it's because you're controlling yourself, so no one else has to.
Mm-hmm.
But as you are controlling yourself less, that means then there has to be external, has to be a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're just like you see. Just even in the modern political, you have the conservatives, they control themselves more, so the governments are smaller.
Yes.
While the liberals, they control themselves less, the governments have to be bigger.
Yes.
You know, it's just naturally how things work. Something like that. Yeah. And then the Yajna is the Yuga Dharma,
yes.
Right? Then you come into Dwapara, that's the Pancharatric system.
Yes.
Right, the deity worship.
Yes.
Then in Kali Yuga, it's the holy name.
Yes. Right?
Yes. Yeah. So then you'd have they'd be Hamsa with you know the Hamsa lifestyle.
Yes.
Then you come into Treta. Then you use the Vedic lifestyle.
Yes.
Right. Dwapara also the Vedic with the Pancharatra.
Yes.
And then in Kali, you're using the Bhagavat with the Pancharatra. We should always remember the difference between spiritual and material actions. The Supreme Lord, being all spiritual, can perform any act without extraneous help. In the material world, if we want to manufacture an earthen pot, we need the ingredients, a machine, and also a laborer. But we should not extend this idea to the actions of the Supreme Lord, for he can create anything in a moment without that which appears necessary in our own conception. Right? Because whatever we're using comes from him. So, when the Lord appears as an incarnation to fulfill a particular purpose, this does not indicate that he is unable to fill it without appearing. He can do anything simply by his will. But by his causeless mercy appears to be dependent upon his devotees. He appears as the son of Jashoda Mata, not because he is dependent on her care, but because he accepts such a role by his causeless mercy. When he appears for the protection of his devotees, he naturally accepts trials and tribulations on their behalf. In Bhagavad Gita it said, right, so he comes because he comes to take care of the devotees and interact, so whatever trials and tribulations come up on that in that pursuance, then he goes through, like Arjuna, the war, so therefore then he's, you know, driving the chariot, all the difficulties that come up there, you know, yeah. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord, being equally disposed towards every living being, has no enemies and no friends, but that he has special affection for a devotee who always thinks of him in love. Therefore, neutrality and partiality are both among the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and they are properly adjusted by his inconceivable energy. The Lord is Parabrahman, or the source of the impersonal Brahman, which is his all-pervading feature of neutrality. Right? In neutrality, then everything is all situated in Brahman. Everything is being dealt with according to its position and how it responds with him.
So, Maharaj, can we say that pure devotees, they have the same quality?
Yes.
Means neutrality and...
Means you're neutral, means that you're neutral towards all living entities, because as they are situated, that's how they deal. Right? Does that make sense? Whatever, if they're situated in karma, they act within karma. Gyan, they act within gyan. You know, if they're outside of the system, they act outside of the system. So, you know, the animals, they act according to Krishna's laws that govern their particular species. And so, everybody is situated on the Lord, and the Lord's taking care of them all. Right? So they're all seen in that same light. So they're dealt with accordingly to what is the rules governing the particular thing, right? Means you can have, that's the point of this inconceivable potency, is that these things that seem contradictory actually work together.
Yes.
Is that you can have a system that has absolute, but at the same time it's adjustable to the detail of what you're dealing with. Right? You have something that someone should be doing, but at the same time, someone else, what they're doing is different. And the same person with time, it may change. You know, so that's the unique thing of the system, is that seeing that it's coming from the Lord, it'll only be understood in connection to the Lord. Otherwise, people can learn a lot if they worship the Lord as knowledge, then so much they can learn. But at the same time, is only when they understand him as a person and worship him in devotion do they actually appreciate all these personal details. Right? So, therefore, since the principle is you're dealing with everyone according to how they reciprocate, then on the platform of Brahman, that equalness to everybody is there, and according to what aspect of Brahman they deal with Krishna in, that's the one he reciprocates on. Right? But now, when we come into bhakti, it's the same principle that because they're dealing with Krishna in devotion, he reciprocates with them in devotion. Right? Going to see how long you can last? So then
it can be a neutral.
Neutral. Well, I would say it's easy with great determination.
Waiting for Christmas perfection.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's the same principle. So he's dealing with all living entities on that principle of equality. But he deals on that platform of equality with all living entities as his impersonal feature. So as they deal, he reciprocates. Right? Impersonal doesn't mean you don't deal. It just means that it's everything's in kind. Right? But now, when he deals with the devotees, because they're dealing in devotion, it's also in kind. So it's equal. But he reciprocates because they're worshiping in his personal feature. He reciprocates in his personal feature. That's the uniqueness. So that's where he favors the devotees. Right? So the two go together. It's not a problem. It has the same principle, but because of the nature of their being personal and worshiping in a personal way, he reciprocates in his personal feature. You know, because the others, they're not interested in him as a person, so he just deals with them as impersonal. Right? In other words, the person is the origin, and how you deal is how he'll reciprocate.
Sometimes we see the difficulty with the leadership is that apparently there's Krishna, there's a devotee, and leadership is somehow in between them, you know, meaning, you know, they represent Krishna, but then as you mentioned, sometimes it's not because of the middle position, it's not between, or the leadership takes it, it's not between Krishna and the devotee, it's between me and the devotee. And then Krishna is kind of, it's in the back, but it's not direct. And then devotees, they also upset with the management, and the management, the leadership, they're unhappy, how come they don't appreciate me, and, you know, the whole thing happens. So how can we adjust?
It means if everyone's Krishna conscious and sees them, their position and connection with Krishna as servant, then the problem goes away. Because one's always working under authority, so that's going to be there. So the devotees are working under the authority of the leadership, leadership's working under their authority. You know, and like this, it goes back up to Krishna. And so if you always see it in that context, that it's service to Krishna and it's about pleasing Krishna, then you won't get these elements. Right? It's only where there's a lack of Krishna consciousness. Because the point is if you're, what you're being directed by authority is bona fide, you know, whether you like them as a person or not, or how they deal is to your liking or not, by you performing that activity is for Krishna, and it will be good. Right? Yeah. You'll get the spiritual benefit. Right? What we're generally not impressed by much of the time is the, you know, the material side of how things go. You know, just how pleasant it is, or well, good the situation is, or like this and that. But as far as being able to be Krishna conscious, that doesn't really change. You know, we're affected by the modes, so therefore then the modes affect, you know, we take that as a serious point, but technically doesn't have to be. Right? So the thing is, well, until the management changes, I can't do service, and that's an excuse. Yes, maybe at their level of realization, it may be a truth, but as we saw from 11th canto, then that puts their position of faith and their position of following the, you know, the Vedic standards on a very low level. You know, it doesn't actually place them, you know, very high, because otherwise you'd be doing your duties whether you like the people or not. You know what I'm saying? Vena's not such a great king. The citizens are doing the same activities. It's not that it changes. Right? Because we said, oh no, it's so dependent upon this. Well, what about the local government? You know, it's like that. Whoever's the premier of the country, you know, whether they're a president, whether they're a chancellor, whether, you know, whatever it is that they call them, then that aspect, our life doesn't really change whoever's in the government. You just do what you do. So in the same way is that is here, just that you may be in more in contact with them, but the position, it doesn't change. At your house, you chanting your japa, you know, or offering your food, or reading Prabhupada's books, it doesn't change that. You know, it's not that, you know, how you say, we're not talking 1984 here, where they have a television in every room watching what you're doing. And even if they are, you still make the offering like that, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not technically an excuse, though, because of our conditioning, it may end up being a cause of being distracted, but it actually is, we're the cause that it's the cause. Right? Because, let us say, do we have in, let's say, your contemporary society, stories about, you know, generally you bump into these stories in middle school, right? That stories of people who, even though their situations are very bad, despite all odds, they rise up to a very, you know, good position.
Yeah.
Like that. And so, you know, they're respected, appreciated, glorified. And the guy that's, you know, born in the slum, stays in the slum, gets shot in the slum. You know, no one's really going out of their way to hear his story. Right? You know, like the guy that lived in the slum in Bombay, only because he made $1 million, we hear his story. If he hadn't made $1 million, no one would ever, ever, ever hear his story. Right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So then that point is there. Is that, so do you just want to be one of a face in the crowd, or do you want to do something, you know, special for Krishna? That's the choice. It means it's, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not hard. That's why that story is told, because of the difficulties they went through. Right? So that's why, so difficulties are going to be there. We're not saying they're not. Arjuna is glorious as the, you know, main warrior in the Battle of Kurukshetra, the main hero. So was it a cakewalk? Right? No. There was big trouble. So, yeah. And so that's the whole point that is there. So then why not, as yourself, just see it in connection with Krishna consciousness and move forward? Why look at it from a political standpoint? Right? And if you're looking at it from a political standpoint, then does that mean that you have the nature to be involved in politics? And if so, then why aren't you in there and making it better? You know what I'm saying? So, but sitting back, what can I do? These guys, you know. So it's just a matter of, no, you have your position, you choose that, you work within that. Because it's a temporary position anyway. And so therefore you be Krishna conscious, go back to Godhead. Then what's the big deal? What does it matter? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If it's a big problem, then go somewhere else where you can do your service. But the point is you have to see is that when you go somewhere else, do those same mentalities follow you? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you have the garbage truck here, and all the crows and that come flying in. So you drive the garbage truck to the other side of Calcutta. The crows are still there. Not that, oh, we're on the other side of Calcutta, the crows will go away. No. It's garbage. They'll get crows. Does that make sense? So the impurities in our heart will naturally put us in situations where those impurities will, you know, how you say, be able to, shine at their best, platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, if you're envious of other people, it doesn't matter where you go, you'll still be envious.
Yes.
Right? Because even if you have fabulous people, you'll still be envious. That's the nature of envy. We're thinking, no, I'm only envious because the people are bad. If I go to a place where everybody is good to the, 100% degree, then I won't be envious. One is that, why it's about you that everybody else has to be perfect and you're not. Only then you'll be perfect. So that one, it makes you dependent upon others. So if you're dependent upon others, then follow authority. You know, like that. Don't try to say that you're independent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know. But otherwise, you know. So it's difficult. Is that you just have to be Krishna conscious. Because otherwise these things will always be there. If it's not there with the temple, it's there with the community, it's there with your family, it's there with your relatives. You know, it's there with the guys on the other side of that wall. You know, it's always going to be a problem. That's just the nature of the material world, because we're self-centered, and especially the nature of the age of Kali, where everything starts a quarrel.
Yes.
What do you mean? No. Are you saying? Yeah. Because the point is that self-realization, not everybody else become realized and then I'll think about it.
It's just preached all the time is that, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead and the dealing should be personal and dadati prati grinati and everything. But then we see many leaders, it's not their nature to be personal. That's the first of all. And even if it is, they, you know, it's just, you know, they're busy. So then, where's the personal?
No, but at the same time is, how do you, it means, now when you put it into this context, though, about the leadership, because before you put it in the context about the, how you say, the plebeians, right? Is that how you say it?
I don't know. I understand what it is, but we say it
means
it different.
The people.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Pleb.
It's Latin or what?
Plebeian.
I don't know that one.
Okay. Yeah. So then the how you say it? The unwashed masses. That's one of the terms they use. Unwashed masses. I think that may come from, you know, how you say that, less miserable bulls or whatever.
Miserable.
Less miserable, yeah. Yeah, a lot of unwashed people. You know, I guess the only bath you get is when you pull the boats into dock, right? You know, so.
Sprinkled is what? Sprinkled, yes.
not too much. Yeah. Okay, so you're going by a pile of grains you purify by sprinkling with water. You are what you eat. They eat grains. They are grains. You sprinkle with water. They're purified. That's the logic. That's the logic. So now that you put it on the context of the leadership, then there's also the point is, what is the definition of personal?
Yeah.
And what is the degree that the leadership has to fulfill the mundane emotional needs of the congregation that they should be getting from their own personal life, their families, their interaction with others, but they're not, but they demand from everybody anyway. Because they're not putting in the effort, they're not putting in that side. You know, like I remember one person made a whole scene, it went on for days and days and days, about how when they come before the you know, whoever's in the lead, you know, the leadership, when they come, they have to give them one of those, you know, big toothy, you know, $1 million Hollywood smiles, and if they don't, it's an absolute, you know, wrong, because they deserve that. I went before, I smiled, they have to smile back like that, and it doesn't matter when I go, you know, how, anything, it has to happen. So the person's right in the middle of something, taking care of one of the kids, something's happened, I came and said, you know, Hari Bol, then you have to stop everything and give them that full emotional support that they demand. So then you also have that aspect. And so it's not that the leadership necessarily is impersonal, it's that this is not what administration's for. That's what family life is for. That's what, you know, how you say, what's it? What's that phrase that goes, society, friendship, and love. Right? That's what that's for. Right? That's why the Varnashram system has the Grihastha Ashram, so that all those things can be taken care of. But outside of that, it's no one else's duty. It means they're pleasant, they're nice, and all that, but you can see is that as soon as they didn't get a smile, then they made a ridiculous amount of politics about it. So does that mean that that was... So then by analyzing that, the smile that they, you know, the... you know, made for the leadership, was that real? Or that was, I'm here, now give me what I demand. So then one can also analyze that that wasn't a real smile, so you got back not a real smile. What do you want? You know, you go into the store with 1 rupee, you know, you're only going to get 1 rupees of stuff. You're not going to walk away with, you know, that new, Mercedes-Benz S-Class, right? You know, no. You get 1 rupee, so that means the guy, what? And kicks you out the door, right? Does that make sense? So you also have that aspect, because the point is this, everybody has their position. So leadership has to also be able to function and perform their duties, because leadership means that they're organizing the things, in this case. And if it's spiritual leadership, then it's on the spiritual platform. The spiritual leaders are not obliged to take care of your emotional needs. You know? It's a new thing that devotees have introduced. Because, you know, gurus are there, they're around, they can be with them. But now it's become a standard that I have to get that personal, emotional thing, what I want from them. So instead of it coming from you know, the standard social environment, it has to come from the spiritual leaders. Because, you know, because we always want everything from the top, right? If we go down to the office, we want to talk to the top guy, not to the guy at the desk who we're supposed to talk to.
Yes.
You know? So it's always that, but that's not actually the position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that makes it very difficult. So you have to put all that in. And then at the same time, leadership should be trying their best to deal in, you know, a proper way, individual way and everything like that. But at the same time, as they are an individual, and so they're going to deal the way they deal. Mm-hmm. And so when you're dealing in this, environment where everything tends to be a bit superficial anyway, you can't expect some depth. And at the same time, as people don't like real, they don't. They don't like things done because they should. They like this. It's just
too much work.
Yeah, too much work and too much reciprocation. You know, like somebody used to send something in a tiffin, and so then. Not so much here, it's an Indian thing, but it's practiced in the South, is that because they send something in a tiffin, when you finish, you wash it and everything, and send something back. Like that. So even if you have nothing, you send a little sugar or something. You know, because it's something you can use, and like this. And so this brother would do that, and so I would send back a little bit of sugar. And then after, I don't know, a week or two or something like that, the person flipped out. Says, "Why do you have to say that? Just say that they just made a whole big scene."
He didn't like sugar.
Huh?
He didn't like sugar.
No. I'm not sure. Maybe they thought, yeah, maybe they were into the sugar blues and thought I was trying to kill them, and so I wasn't appreciating what they sent.
Salt.
Yeah, chilies. Yeah, chilies. Yeah, already cut. You know. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just the intensity is that, you know, it's just as they're doing something and they're happy about that, but if that's reciprocated, then they can't. So the point is it is Kali Yuga, and everybody has a Kali Yuga background, and so then one has to be a bit more accommodating, right? Or find that place where it is Shangri-La for you, you know, but you might have to march through a few hundred miles of snow-laden Himalayas to find the place, but, you know. No?
I don't know. It seems like it's in another dimension. We can't reach that world.
Yes, it is. It's called the spiritual world. And so, therefore, you tolerate what's here to get there. You know, just like we were saying, those persons that have the material unfortunate situations, they tolerate that and they better themselves and come up to a higher platform. So we tolerate what's here and go back to Godhead.
With whoever is here.
Sorry?
With whoever is here.
With whoever is here, yeah.
We tolerate them here.
Oh my God.
I heard that from the group.
Yeah, but the point is when you get there, everybody's on the transcendental platform. So not only you'll be nicer, they'll be nicer.
Good dream.
Good
dream.
Yeah, but otherwise, if that's a problem for you, then you don't have to worry. That Krishna, you won't be inspired to go back to Godhead until you actually can appreciate the association of the bodies. So then you don't have to worry. You won't get there in a state of mind that you won't appreciate them. Like that. Yeah, so you don't have, it's not going to happen. You won't go back to Godhead before you appreciate the association of the bodies. So you don't have to worry that all these guys here, I'm going to see those same guys there.
It's actually a direct quote. Somebody said, if this person is there, I'm not going there.
But you tell them, don't worry, you'll never go. You don't have to. Yeah, and then it's whatever it is. It's that, you know, finally they get back to Godhead and they're there and they're down, you know, whatever it is. And let's say you have the, what do you call it? You know, some pastime, and they take a bath, and then the person turns around, and then you see the tattoo. And then you know, this person is, oh no!
Yes. Yes.
It's the same person. Same tattoo. That's why it's said that devotees, they generally avoid tattoos. That way no one knows when you get there.
Yeah, that's why Jews, they don't bury you with tattoos. They cut it off before they put you in the ground.
Because you'll end up with it there. And when you get there, you don't want to be the guy's mom, right? You Okay. The Lord is Parabrahman, or the source of the impersonal Brahman, which is his all-pervading feature of neutrality. In his personal feature, however, as the owner of all transcendental opulences, the Lord displays his partiality by taking the side of the devotees. Partiality, neutrality, and all such qualities are present in God. Otherwise, it could not be experienced in the creation. Right? Anything you experience, it has to be there in God in its original, natural, pure form. Since he is the total existence, all things are properly adjusted in the absolute. In the relative world, such qualities are displayed in a perverted manner, and therefore we experience non-duality as a perverted reflection. Because there is no logic to explain how things happen in the realm of spirit, the Lord is sometimes described as being beyond the range of experience, right? Because logic doesn't work there, so then... Yeah. But if we simply accept the Lord's inconceivability, we can then adjust all things in Him. Right? Yeah. Because we're looking at it, no, it has to be adjusted according to logic. No, it's adjusted according to inconceivability. That's the thing. Non-devotees cannot understand the Lord's inconceivable energy, and consequently for them it is said that He is beyond the range of conceivable expression. Right? Because He, you know, it's inconceivability, so only devotees can appreciate. Right? So the mundaners can only function with inconceivability.
Yes.
Yeah. The author of the Brahma Sutras accepts this fact and says, Shrutes tu shabda mulatvat. Vedanta Sutra 2.127. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being inconceivable to an ordinary man, can be understood only through the evidence of the Vedic injunctions. The Skanda Purana confirms, Achintya kalu ye pava natams tarkena yojayet. Matters inconceivable to a common man should not be a subject for argument. We find very wonderful qualities even in such material things as jewels and drugs. Indeed, their qualities often appear inconceivable. Therefore, if we do not attribute inconceivable potency to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we cannot establish his supremacy. Right? You know, so the jewel can do so many things or just its value, or you have a particular herb or something. By taking that, it gets rid of a disease. You know, how is that? It's inconceivable. You know, how this leaf here can get rid of this disease. Right? You know, like that. It is because of these inconceivable potencies that the glories of the Lord have always been accepted as difficult to understand.
Actually, about the drugs, the medicine, more and more people in the West now, they don't accept the value of... they accept only allopathic medicine. It's not the value of herbs.
Means they accept herbs, they don't accept.
More and more people don't accept.
Or because it's good advertisement, so that's all.
But some are quite convinced.
If you grow up, that has to be like this, the scientific approach, and yes, that these aren't scientific. Because it just means that you do this, then it's that. You advertise the other way, it goes the other way. Right? In other words, you're making more money off of synthetic than you are off of natural.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And as long as you are making more off of synthetic food than natural, they made. But as soon as they saw they'd make more money off of natural food than synthetic, then now it's shifted the other way. It's just a matter of economics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that these things come. But even in the same way, the same point, this little pill that looks the same as all other pills, why does it do what it does? It's the same principle. Because whether it's a herb or whether it's a synthesized, you know, drug, the potency of it's still coming from Krishna. It's still the same principle. You know, so how is it that this drug will do, you know, this particular work?
Sometimes I say because we have experience.
Yeah, but the point is it's not because you experienced it makes it work. It's because it actually works, and then you're experiencing that. Because if it's you had to experience it, then the point is if you haven't experienced it, it couldn't do it. You've never experienced it, it'll never do it. So therefore, the drug is doing that work, and then you're experiencing that.
Yes.
So the point is it's there, and there's so many things that we don't, you know, as people only know how much they know.
Yes.
Right, and so then, you know, with time they learn more.
Yeah. But when the modern scientists don't accept the inconceivability.
No, they don't. That's the materialists we're talking about.
So, yes.
Because you're talking about on consciousness, the lowest level is anamoy, where it's, if I can't perceive it with my senses, it doesn't exist.
Mm.
It's the lowest level.
Yes.
So what do you expect from those on the lowest level of consciousness? You can say they're intelligent, but they're still on the lowest level of consciousness.
Yes.
That's the point. Ignorance and the juggling of words are very common in human society, but they do not help one understand the inconceivable energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we accept such ignorance and word jugglery, we cannot accept the Supreme Lord's perfection in six opulences. For example, one of the opulences of the Supreme Lord is complete knowledge. Therefore, how could ignorance be inconceivable in him? How could ignorance be conceivable in him? Vedic instructions and sensible arguments establish that the Lord's maintaining the cosmic manifestation and simultaneously being indifferent to the activities of its maintenance cannot be contradictory. Because of his inconceivable energies. To a person, right, because we saw before, is that if he's involved in these things, he'll be controlled by these things. He'll be affected. right? Or if he's not affected, means he's not involved. That's the materialistic, you know, mentalities. So here that he can be involved, but not attached, unaffected, that then, yeah. To a person who is always absorbed in the thought of snakes, a rope always appears to be a snake. And similarly, to a person bewildered by material qualities and devoid of knowledge of the Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears according to diverse bewildered conclusions. Right? So, depending upon what they see as Absolute, because of their, you know, bewildered position of being absorbed in the material energy, then the Lord will appear in that form to them, whatever that is. So, someone might argue that the Absolute would be affected by duality, for you're both all-cognizant, Brahman, and the Personality of Godhead, the six opulences in full, Bhagavan. To refute such an argument, the aphorism Swarupa Dvayam Ikshyate declares that in spite of appearances, there's no chance of duality in the Absolute. For he is one, he is but one in diverse manifestations. Understanding the Absolute displays varied pastimes by the influence of his energies, at once removes the apparent incongruity of his inconceivable opposite energies. Right. So all these varieties coming through his energy, so then there's energy means variety, so what's the problem? Right. So that Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.16 gives the following description on the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Kaman yani anihasya bhavo bhavasyate. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do, he nevertheless acts. Although he is always unborn, he nevertheless takes birth. Although he is time, fearful to everyone, he flees Mathura in fear of his enemy to take shelter in a fort. And although he is self-sufficient, he marries 16,000 women. These pastimes seem like bewildering contradictions, even to the most intelligent. End quote. Had these activities of the Lord not been a reality, sages would not have been puzzled by them. Therefore, such activities should never be considered imaginary, right? Because no one's puzzled by them. Right? They are puzzled, because if they're not puzzled, means it's just mundane like everything else. You know, you take some a mundane fantasy universe, and people understand everything about it. They can tell you all the different things, and this is this, and that's that, and so many different things like that. But then you talk about this universe, they can't figure it out. Right? Because the Lord's inconceivable potencies. Because in those, then they make them work. They follow laws, even though it's arbitrary what they come up with. Right? But...
like even in India, the modern education system, they say that whatever is Krishna and everything is all mythology, simply.
Yeah, no, that's what they've always said. But you have to appreciate that their ancestors were monkeys. That's the fact. Like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably said, that's your ancestors, not mine. You came from a monkey. I did.
So Maharaj Krishna is very kind to reciprocate to every living entity with every desire.
Yeah,
and every
that's the thing. So even they want to be atheists, Krishna then makes the arrangements.
Yes.
So they can, you know, get up on their soapbox and yell and scream and all that. He gives them the chance.
Right? He's the only one who can.
Yeah, because if there were no soap, then there wouldn't be boxes to put the soap in. And so therefore there wouldn't be boxes for people to stand on to, you know, express their particular opinions. Right? So, hey, Krishna's arrangement. The scriptures known as the Pancharatra Shastras are recognized Vedic scriptures that have been accepted by the great Acharyas. These scriptures are not products of the modes of passion and ignorance. Learned scholars and Brahmins therefore always refer to them as Sattvata Samhitas. The original speaker of these scriptures is Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is especially mentioned in the Moksha Dharma, 349-68, which is part of the Shanti Parva of the Mahabharata. Wow. Shantiparva is one of the 18, and then within that that particular one, chapter 349. You know? I mean, the Bhagavatam only has 300 chapters, right? And this is just in one parva, right? Liberated sages like Narada and Vyas, who are free from the four defects of conditioned souls, are the propagators of these scriptures. Sri Narada Muni is the original speaker of the Pancharatra Shastra. Srimad Bhagavatam is also considered a Sattvata Samhita. Yeah. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana. Malicious editors and scholars who attempt to misrepresent the Pancharatra Shastras to refute their regulations are most abominable. In the modern age, such malicious scholars have even commented misleadingly upon the Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken by Krishna, to prove that there is no Krishna. You get Krishna to say he doesn't exist. How the Mayavadis have misrepresented the Pancharatra Vidhi will be shown below, right? So that's what we see Shankaracharya is doing with the Chakravyuha, because that'll be a major definition in the Jnana section of the Pancharatra. Because you have the Jnana, which gives the knowledge how the Narayana has become the deity and how they're non-different, right? So that's going to be in the Jnana, right? Then you have the Kriyas, what you do, the Charya, and the Jnana Kriya. Charya. Can't remember the last one. Yeah. Okay. One. In commenting on Vedanta Sutra 2242, Shripad Shankaracharya has claimed that Shankarshan is a jiva, an ordinary living entity. But there's no evidence in any Vedic scripture that devotees of the Lord have ever said that Shankarshan is an ordinary living entity. He is an infallible plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Vishnu category. And he is beyond the creation of material nature. He is the original source of the living entities. The Upanishads declare, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. He is the supreme living entity among all the living entities. Therefore, he is Vibhu Chaitanya, the greatest. He is directly the cause of the cosmic manifestation and the infinitesimal small living beings. He is the infinite living entity, and ordinary living entities are infinitesimal. Therefore, he is never to be considered an ordinary living being, for that would be against the conclusion of the authorized scriptures. The living entities are also beyond the limitations of birth and death. This is the version of the Vedas, and is accepted by those who follow scriptural injunctions, who have actually descended in the disciplic succession. So then they'll understand it. Two, in answer to Shankaracharya's commentary on Vedanta Sutra 2243, it must be said that the original Vishnu of all the Vishnu categories, which are distributed in several ways, is Mula Shankarshan. Mula means the original. Shankarshan is also Vishnu, but from him all other Vishnus expand. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 546, wherein it is said that just as a flame transferred from one flame acts like the original, so the Vishnus who emanate from Mula Shankarshan are as good as the original Vishnu. One should worship that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who thus expands himself. Right? So Krishna is the original, and then all the other expansions are coming from Shankarshan. Right? That's the whole point. Krishna expands Shankarshan, then everybody else comes from Shankarshan. Right? In reply to the commentary of Shankaracharya on the 44th aphorism, it may be said that no pure devotees strictly following the principles of the Pancharatra will ever accept the statement that all the expanses of Vishnu are different identities. For this idea is completely false. Even Sripad Shankaracharya in his commentary on the 42nd aphorism has accepted that the personality of Godhead can automatically expand himself variously. Right? Remember before when Prabhupada was explaining, they're saying that they're all expanding from. Right, so he's accepting that, but then he's then criticizing the point.
Yeah, he's saying because they're expanding, that means there is a difference. Otherwise, why would they be?
There's a difference, also there's a beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the difficulty, because there's a difference, therefore then... No, but they're non-different. They're him, just in different pastimes. Like that. Therefore, his commentary on the 42nd aphorism and his commentary on the 44th aphorism are contradictory. Right? So then, he's bringing that up here. We can point it out about his one. Right? That is contradictory, so it's not in a strong position. Right? Because he's one, he's accepting and then making a point, then the other he's rejecting. It is a defect of Mayavad commentaries that they make one statement in one place and a contradictory statement in another place as a tactic to refute the Bhagavad school.
Yes.
Right? And unfortunately they're not the source of the achintya potency. So yeah. Thus Mayavadi commentators do not even follow regular principles. Right? Because regular principles means regular. Right? Yeah. It should be noted that the Bhagavat school accepts the quadruple forms of Narayana, but that does not mean that it accepts many gods. Devotees know perfectly well that the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is one without a second. They are never pantheists, worshippers of many gods, for this is against the injunction of the Vedas. The devotees completely believe, with strong faith, that Narayana is transcendental and has inconceivable proprietorship of various transcendental potencies. We therefore recommend that scholars consult the Lagu Bhagavatamrita of Rupa Goswami, where these ideas are explicitly stated. Sripad Shankaracharya has tried to prove that Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha expand through cause and effect. He has compared them with earth and earthen pots. That is completely ignorant, because the thing is you're dealing with an energy. So there may be these aspects of transformation, but Krishna being the source, he never transforms. Because he's the source, so he doesn't have to transform.
So Maharaj, the Sankarsha, he accepts that Vasudev, Sankarsha, and Padmanabhana are like energy, not the original.
It means he would have to be applying it like that, because then they have a beginning and all these kind of things. When they don't, they're Vishnu Tattva, they're original, they're eternal.
Yes.
So the problem is they're not accepting that Brahman has qualities.
Yes.
So because of that, then they can't understand anything beyond that point.
Yes.
You can only understand philosophy up to the level that you accept.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That is complete. Okay. Shankaracharya has tried to prove that Vasudev, Sankarshad, Prajumna, Adiruddha expand through cause and effect. He's compared them with earth and earthen pots. That is completely ignorant. However, for there is no such thing as cause and effect in their expansions. Nan yad yad sada sat param. Right? With them there's no cause and effect. That's with his energies. The Kurma Puran also confirms Deha Dehi Vibedho Yam Neshvare Vidyate Kvachit. There's no difference between body and soul in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. End quote. Cause and effect are material. For example, it is seen that a father's body is the cause of the son's body, but the soul is neither cause nor effect. On the spiritual platform, there are none of the differences we find in cause and effect, since all the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are spiritually supreme. They are equally controllers of material nature. Standing on the fourth dimension, they are predominating figures on the transcendental platform, right? So then we see is that besides the three dimensions, there is a fourth dimension. But that fourth dimension is not material, it's spiritual. So if they're seeing more than three dimensions in the material, means that's just hallucination, right? Like that. They are predominating figures on the transcendental platform. There is no trace of material contamination in their expansions because material laws cannot influence them. There is no such rule as cause and effect outside of the material world. Therefore, the understanding of cause and effect cannot approach the full, transcendental, complete expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedic literature proves this. Om Purnamidah Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachite. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Ishvapanishad invocation. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. Because he is perfectly, completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete by itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Then that's also in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 5.1. Oh no, here, starting there. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 5.1. It's most apparent that non-devotees, unless it's combat, no, no. It's most apparent that non-devotees violate the rules and regulations of devotional service. To equate the whole cosmic manifestation, which is the external feature of Vishnu, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the controller of Maya, or with the quadruple expansions. So it must be, it's also in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad.
Yeah, it is in Brihadaranyaka. It is in two places.
Yeah. Equating Maya with spirit. Okay, equating Maya with spirit, or Maya with the Lord, is a sign of atheism. The cosmic creation which manifests life and forms from Brahma to the ant is the external feature of the Supreme Lord. It comprises one-fourth of the Lord's energy, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Ekam Shena Stito Jagat, Bhagavad Gita 10.42. The cosmic manifestation of the illusory energy is material nature, and everything within material nature is made of matter. Therefore, one should not try to compare the expansion of material nature to the Chaturvyuha, the quadruple expansions of the personality of Godhead. But unfortunately, the Mayavadi school unreasonably attempts to do this. 4. To answer Shankaracharya's commentary in Vedanta Sutra 2.2.45, the substance of the transcendental qualities and their spiritual nature is described in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Purva 5.208-214, as follows. Some say that transcendence must be devoid of all qualities, because qualities are manifested only in matter. According to them, all qualities are like temporary flickering mirages. But this is not acceptable. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute, his qualities are non-different from him. His form, name, qualities, and everything else pertaining to him are as spiritual as he is. Every qualitative expansion of the Absolute Personality of Godhead is identical with him. Since the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, is a reservoir of all pleasure. All the transcendental qualities that expand from him are also reservoirs of pleasure. This is confirmed in the scripture known as Brahma Tarka, which states that the Supreme Lord Hari is qualified by himself, and therefore Vishnu and his pure devotees and their transcendental qualities cannot be different from their persons. In the Vishnu Purana, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in the following words, quote, "Let the Supreme Personality of Godhead be merciful towards us. His existence is never infected by material qualities," end quote. In the same Vishnu Purana, it is also said that all the qualities attributed to the Supreme Lord, such as knowledge, opulence, beauty, strength, and influence, are known to be non-different from him. This is also confirmed in the Padma Purana, which explains that whenever the Supreme Lord is described as having no qualities, this should be understood to indicate that he is devoid of material qualities. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16.29, it is said, "O Dharma, protector of religious principles, all noble and sublime qualities are eternally manifested in the person of Krishna. And devotees and transcendentalists who aspire to become faithful also desire to possess such transcendental qualities." End quote within the quote, and the quote itself. It is therefore to be understood that Lord Krishna, the transcendental form of absolute bliss, is the fountainhead of all pleasurable transcendental qualities and inconceivable potencies. In this connection, we may recommend references to Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 26, verses 21, 25, 27, and 28. Sripad Ramanujacharya has also refuted the arguments of Shankaracharya in his own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is known as the Sri Bhashya. Quote, Sripad Shankaracharya has tried to equate the Pancharatras with the philosophy of the atheistic Kapila, and thus he has tried to prove that the Pancharatras contradict the Vedic injunctions. The Pancharatras state, right, because they're trying to say, no, the Vedas say this, and because the Pancharatras are saying different than what they're choosing, therefore they're trying to say that it's contradictory to the Veda. The Pancharatras state that the personality of Jiva, called Shankarshan, has emerged from Vasudeva, the supreme cause of all causes. That Prajumna, the mind, has come from Sankarshana, and Adiruddha, the ego, has come from Prajumna. But one cannot say that the living entity, Jiva, takes birth or is created, for such a statement is against the injunctions of the Vedas. As stated in the Katha Upanishad 2.18, because even if you're taking on the platform of Jiva, Jiva doesn't take birth. So you can't equate that Sankarshan takes birth because he's called Jiva. Because even the Jivas don't take birth. They're beyond. Right? So let alone their origin. Right? Yeah. As stated in the Katha Upanishad 2.18, living entities as individual spirit souls can have neither birth nor death. All Vedic literature declares that the living entities are eternal. Therefore, when it is said that Sankarshan is Jiva, this indicates that he is the predominating deity of the living entities. Similarly, Prajumna is the predominating deity of the mind, and Aniruddha is the predominating deity of the ego. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, just like when we see, sometimes they also refer to kings. You know, he's just he's just the king of this place. Mm-hmm. You know, like Videha Raj or like this. So the same way as then he being the lord of the Jivas, then he could be called Jiva. Somebody says. No?
Yes, but it's just very bewildering.
Why?
Because according to the Lord Jiva, that would bewilders others.
But that means you have two things. One is people do want to be bewildered, so you have to give them some way to be bewildered. Right? And two is that if one understands this point, then one is never bewildered.
But what about those who claim that Lakshmi is Jiva?
Because Jiva also means servant. So then she's the lead servant. You know, like that. But at the same time, as then Baladeva is also known for him being the supreme personality of servant or godhood. Right? So she's supreme personality of, how you say, the energy of the Lord, you know, as servant. You know. Does that make sense?
We saw earlier in Vedanta Sutra, first chapter, fourth part, wherein we discussed with Adhikaran that all the names are names of Brahman. Therefore, Jiva is also the name of Brahman. And Prabhupada explained right now that Jiva means, for Sankarshan, it means that he is very, very infinitely large. And for us living entities, Jiva means is infinitesimally small. So that's all.
Different names. Yeah, it's just like, okay. Nice. Nice. Not that one. Okay, try again. You have nice. Then you have nice. Yes.
This is when can we say that when not goal but when effect of the Veda is we can be bewildered or we can be
enlightened. Yeah. Yes. It's just point is Krishna being everything, then whatever you want you can get.
Reciprocate.
Yeah. But in this case you can get Krishna.
Yes.
That's the difference.
Everything is dependent on the intent.
Yes, yes.
Also, one more very important point over here, that we saw the commentary of Baldev Vidya Bhushan on this last Radhi Karana, and that was refuting the Shakti Vad. But we find that in Prabhupada and Ramanujacharya, their entire aim is to establish the Pancharatra Agama. The reason being, because the last Adhikarana was about the Shaivites, so we were refuting them. And the Shivas, the Pashupatas, have their own agamas which are conflicting to each other. Therefore, now the opposition comes up claiming that even the Pancharatra agamas followed by the Vaishnavas are equally contradicting the Vedas. That is the reason why Prabhupada and Ramanujacharya have tried to establish the authenticity of Pancharatra agama.
Hmm.
Maharaj, this is why this long purport is coming now.
Hmm. Hmm. Turn it this way, it looks shorter. It's only that.
But I think it's a big police. This last page are a little bigger size. Huh?
Maybe. The letters are getting bigger as you go.
This is just to utilize the page efficiently and don't waste. That's the reason why I did the formatting like that.
Okay. She's worried it's getting bigger and bigger. Or what's this? Sometime in the 70s, they served so much prasad, because like I said before, you served in these big dabus, like half-meter dabus. So, you know, small means one, more means two. So somehow or another I ended up with like two spoons. This is after eating, when you're at the end of the meal. Two spoons of, in those days, soy chunk sabji, because they really like the soy chunk sabji. Like
the
that
one?
Yeah, the saucy one like that, yeah. With the rice. And so it took me like an hour to eat. And I remember when I had literally, physically one bite left on the plate that you could actually just pick up and put in. But as I was looking at it, it was somehow or another getting bigger and bigger. That looked like this huge, like insurmountable pile of sabji that, you know, you couldn't, you know. And you had to sit there for a while more, and then finally it got small enough that you could pick it up and eat it.
Things for the mind.
Yeah, just so you know. Similarly, Prajumna is the predominating deity of the mind, and Adiruddha is the predominating deity of the ego. Right? So then in this one, then we're taking it, you know, from a different perspective, because the mind means then it's going to controlling the intelligence and senses, right? Because the intelligence is the lord of the senses. But which one will be, engagement for the senses will be chosen is by the mind. So ultimately that whole process, you can say, is mind. And just like we said before, is that the position where you have a goal, but that goal will be based upon your false identity. Right? So depending upon your ego, that's how you claim a goal. So, for the conditioned living entity, the goal is sense gratification. For the liberated soul, then it's prema. Right? So like that, then you can also identify. Because the mind's involved at all levels. Right? So it's just a matter of which aspect you want to bring out. So here, then, bringing from the pancharatric level, they're bringing that aspect. Because if you change your ego, you change your goal. Right, you change the attitude of the mind, because Prajumna still says his attitude, and Aniruddha still his goals. Right, then that means you change that attitude of the mind, then you change how you use your intelligence and senses. Right, is that like that? Yeah. Had something? Yeah. It is said that quote. It is said that Prajumna. Okay, so let's continue with Shankar. Shribhasya. It has been said that Prajumna, the mind, was produced from Shankarshana, but if Shankarshana were a living entity, this could not be accepted, because a living entity cannot be the cause of the mind. The Vedic injunctions state that everything, including life, mind, and the senses, come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is impossible for the mind to be produced by a living entity, for the Vedas state that everything comes from the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Lord. Shankarshan, Prajumna, and Adiruddha have all the potent features of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, according to the revealed scriptures, which contain undeniable facts that no one can refute. Therefore, these members of the quadruple manifestations are never to be considered ordinary living beings. Each of them is a plenary expansion of the absolute truth, and thus each is identical with the Supreme Lord in knowledge, opulence, energy, influence, prowess, and potencies. Knowledge, opulence, energy, influence, prowess, and potencies. Okay, now he's using the Pancharatra one of the six. Yeah, okay. I wonder if these are in that order. Yeah, so they're in the order. So knowledge and opulence will be in this one, Sankarshan. Energy and influence will be Prajumna, and prowess and potency will be Aniruddha. And then potency would go back to which of the six by the, when we put it like the other list of opulences? Because knowledge would be knowledge, opulence would be wealth, influence, you know, would be power, like that. And then, but then, one of them would become beauty, one of them would become renunciation, and one of them would become fame. The evidence of the Pancharatras cannot be neglected. Only untrained persons who have not generally studied the... Oh, time's up. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nityai Gaura Premanandini.